Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I wouldn't touch the Patriots with a 10-foot pole.
What now?
The team isn't very good anymore.
Good plays are good, and plays that aren't so good aren't so good.
Dale Arnold.
Tim, you reached that out, right?
Yes, sir.
I think you got in.
I did.
That's a touchdown.
That holding!
Yeah, he tackles him. Like, come on, man.
Rich Key.
Here's what's cool. Being yourself and being cool with yourself.
Stop talking when I'm talking! Shut up!
Chill with the bad talk.
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Got a big nut under there?
Mom's spaghetti, as Eminem would say.
He would
right
say.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Andy Hart, WEEI.com, is with us as he is every Tuesday and Thursday. So just because we like consistency around here, you know, we set up something, we try to carry it through forever. So today, the Red Sox were right when they didn't keep Mookie Betts. They didn't pay him the exorbitant contract for 12 years and $365 million because he went 0-for-3 last night. So in game one, when he played well, the Red Sox screwed up. Today, they did the right thing. Is that how that works in this town?
No.
It's talk radio, yeah. Dale. Run with it.
The best player, not named Mike Trout, in all of baseball playing in the World Series?
Hard
to spin that positively.
I heard that Mookie's the best.
He's not. Like, that's, come on, like, Mike Trout's
Mike
on a Trout's bad team.
Mike Trout's the best player.
He's, like, next level. Mike Trout's he's legit one of the greatest players of
Lou
all
Marlone
time.
Lou Marlone has made the case that when all is said and done,
He's not wrong.
You're going to say he's the best player who ever played.
He might be right. And so that's why the conversation is always, who's the second best player? That's just how good Trout is. He's moved the goalpost, and you can't use the, he hasn't done it in the postseason. It's not basketball. You're not a quarterback in football. Like that, you hold that against those guys.
Right.
Baseball, unfortunately, he's been on a team that can't pitch, or there's been nobody else in his lineup, or whatever else it is. But he's the best. But Mookie Betts, probably the second best player. Probably the second best player in baseball, and you're watching him play in the World Series now as a Red Sox fan. It's brutal.
Yeah, he seems like he's having fun.
He's having a blast out there. Yeah.
Well, 1-1.
The question for everybody was whether or not you could have kept him. I mean, that's been the argument since the Red Sox traded him. He was part of that big package. He and David Price go to the Dodgers, yada, yada. We've rehashed that enough. But the question was, is there some way you could have kept him? And inevitably, when you talk about could have kept him, it's, if you do it soon enough, if you throw a whole bunch of money at him soon enough, then he's going to stay. That's always the first argument that's made. Could the Red Sox have thrown any amount of money at Mookie Betts that would have made him stay?
Well, see, I have always believed they could have. I've always been sort of critical, and I came in with Mutt last night, and he was making every excuse in the world for the Red Sox. Oh, you had to do this. He sounded like David Ortiz. You had to trade him before you lose him for nothing. You had to get
Ortiz originally, not Ortiz the other night, he said, I would have paid him some of my salary.
That's not true. That's called revisionist history.
Yes.
But I've always been critical of the idea that, he was going to go to free agency or whatever. So just pay him. You're the Boston Red Sox. You can pay who you want. You can plan ahead to pay who you want so you don't paint yourself into a financial corner.
Yeah, they screwed that up.
And now...
Well, let me ask you this, though. If the Red Sox had, prior to dealing him, if they'd offered him 12 years, $365 million,
No. That was
pre-pandemic. No, right?
That was pre-pandemic.
He was thinking he was going to get $400 million.
And a lot of people were. I mean, that was sort of accepted that he was going to get $400 million in that range somewhere. But now we have, and our friend Michael Felger has sort of told a story that maybe that's not true. Mm-hmm. That, you know, and I don't know how solid the sourcing is on this. I believe he called it from a socially distanced cocktail party. He was talking to a guy.
Call a red challenge flag on that.
But whatever. Yeah. So this idea that they actually did offer him more than he wanted or as much as he wanted. They met the demands and he said no. And now that's led to this debate of how are they playing this PR wise? Why is it not out there that maybe he let's just throw a number. Let's just say it's $400 million even that he asked for $400 million and they said, okay. And he goes, oh no, that's not enough. Do you want that out there? Why is that not out there? Why are you okay with people believing you cheaped out, that you didn't want to give him the years or the money?
Yeah,
you know, because you're big on that, Rich, that you're going to regret this contract on the back end, whether
it's year eight, year nine, year seven. But then again, if you ever want a superstar again, or you're just not in the superstar business, because if you want whenever Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, Mike Trout, now he signed early, but guys in that in that atmosphere, if you want somebody like that, unfortunately, you have to spend or pay for 10 years or 12 years.
And they know that. They've
That's
done
what
that.
It goes for.
But see, my red challenge flag would be, if I'm Mookie Betts, I never give them a number. Why would I give them a number? Because I'm going to let them give me a number, and then I'm going to go north of that.
Well, if you give them a number, then maybe you get what you want.
See, I don't believe, I think whatever number, he knew that whatever number was thrown out there, that was the starting point of the negotiations. If you're Betts, and let's just, we'll play Andy's game. Bet says, okay, $400 million, 12 years, 10 years, whatever, I'll sign. And they say, okay. And he's thinking, damn, I could have gotten 420 out of him or 440 out of him.
Well,
if you're a player, and more specifically, if you're the player's agent, you don't put the number out there.
But do you think he would have signed with the Red Sox?
That's where we're getting down.
That's the question.
Right.
Do you think he would have signed with the Red Sox, whether it was early or if, to your point, he wants to get the absolute last dollar? Because there's been so many rumors out there, and it was mostly rumors. I'm sure everybody's heard them, that he didn't want to be here, didn't want to be here, didn't want to be here, and he wouldn't sign for anything. You could offer him $1 billion, and he wouldn't sign here.
Right.
But what we do know is publicly, he always said he had no problem with Boston. He liked Boston. He also did say on the record that he wanted to, you know, set the bar for the next wave of free agents. I'm paraphrasing there, but it's basically I want to, you know, get to free agency, and I want to, you know, kind of help out other players.
Yep.
And so,
which means you get the most money you can get so that they then negotiate off of you.
Right. So that doesn't mean it's not here. And so based on just what he said publicly, I thought if he played out the year, yes, it's a risk. You have to like Washington, they played out Bryce Harper's deal and they actually lost him. It's a risk. But if you offer more than anybody else, if he's true to his word that he's trying to just raise all contracts, he would have signed with whatever team paid him the most. But I have a feeling.
See, I don't believe that the Red Sox ever offered him $400 million. I really don't. And maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe they did.
All right. So
I don't envision that they did that.
The question then boils down to, because I don't think we really know for sure whether Mookie Betts would have signed here for the most money or not. And then the pandemic does throw a huge monkey wrench into it, because you don't know, would he have signed early with the Dodgers under normal circumstances? Would he have signed for
that? Did he take this one because he went, God, look what's going on in the world. Yeah. I better jump on this while I can.
But here's the question, if you're the Boston Red Sox, and now something that even Chaim Bloom has to look at, as well as obviously John Henry and everybody else, is would you rather be a team that is perceived as being cheap, won't pay the top players the top dollars, or a team in which the top players don't want to play for you? What's worse?
Well, they've never had the reputation of not paying top dollar.
Right.
I mean, they've always had one of the best payrolls. That, you know, they've paid as much money as anybody out there.
Right.
Overspent.
Going back 30 years, they would sign big price free agents. They always spent. So the next step.
So they've never had the reputation of being cheap.
But the next
they
step
have not,
is
no.
not just the best players. We know the next question. The next domino in that discussion is race. Mm-hmm. Whether you want it to be or not. That's the reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Jackie Bradley. Mm-hmm. Could you trade him because he's your one black player?
We
could you possibly
Sam Kennedy.
Get rid of him?
Now, he gave an answer in circles, but my takeaway from Sam Kennedy was they kept Jackie Bradley Jr. because he was black.
Correct. Yeah. So we know that's a talking point, an issue. They know that's going to be out there, whether it's in the media, whether it's in the fraternity of players, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a discussion there that fair or not, you would be fueling. Yeah, we offered him 420, and he told us to pound sand. Wow, he hated you that much? He didn't want to play there that badly?
Right.
That he told you to stick almost $500 million?
No, because the teams that have the money don't lose their homegrown superstars. It's the other teams that are like, shoot. Like how the Red Sox got, you know, or David Price. Actually, he left Tampa and went to Detroit. But still, like, those guys don't stay there because they can't really afford them. Like, they gave Evan Longoria a lot of money, sure. But everybody else, like Carl Crawford, all right, see you later. Like, these teams can't afford them, so they have to maximize their rookie deals. But other superstars that are on teams in, like, the five or six biggest markets, they keep those guys. So I think either way around the league, players are looking at it being like, either you didn't want to pay Mookie, that's weird, or Mookie didn't want to play there, how come?
Right.
And then it's a bad look no matter how you spin it.
But like, I do agree with them that I'd rather be cheap than an undesirable racist place. Right. I mean, that's a mark you can't.
But I'm like, if they're not going to pay Mookie, who are they?
But what do you care? Like, if you're a free agent X out on the market and the Red Sox say, we're going to offer you 10 years, $300 million. You go, well, you were cheap with Mookie, but you seem to be okay with me. I'll take it, right?
That's bad business. Like, what I would say.
You're an idiot, but I'll take it. Yeah. Right? So, I mean, like, does Evaldi think they're cheap?
Does
Pierce think they're cheap?
But Evaldi
Sale.
Evaldi and Sale are the reason why Betts is gone.
Correct. Well
maybe not.
Unless you're playing the old narrative, not the new narrative.
That's a good point.
The storyline around here, and to your guys' point, I don't think I've ever heard Mookie talk about this. The storyline around here was he was going to free agency. It didn't matter. He was going. It wouldn't have mattered what they could have offered him, to Andy's point, $500 million. He was going to free agency. But I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know that there's a number that they could have put in front of Mookie Betts where he would have said to his agent, oh, how do I not sign this?
But where you could have, now this, again, obviously, taking care of your team is more important than like public perception.
Right.
But you could have really proven it out at the end of the day. Let's say no pandemic happens and you play out the season. He's on the Red Sox. You get to free agency. The Mets and the Dodgers offer $400 million. You offer $410 million, and he goes to the Mets. Then you're like, all right, Mookie, we wanted you. Right. But now you have that sting of, man, he took less money to go somewhere. He took less money to go to the Mets.
And that can no longer play out because of the pandemic.
Unfortunately,
like if the Red Sox say,
a lot of unknown there.
We offered $410 million, well, Mookie goes, back then I thought I was getting $440 million.
Yeah, no.
You know, I was going to hit the open market. It was going to be just.
He still made a lot of money, but
he thought
he was going to make more.
It's not the same market where he accepted the money. And he smartly, I think, probably said, I'm good with $360 million.
So you think?
He has always said that he had no problems with Boston. He's always, you know,
he said that,
publicly. But if that weren't the case, wouldn't somebody have whispered to somebody, and wouldn't we have heard something along the lines of, well, I know that's what he said, but I'm going to tell you right now, he wanted
out. But Rich is right. There's been whispers. No one has sourced it.
Nobody's come
and reported it.
I heard that plenty
of times. But there has been rumblings that he didn't want to be here. He wasn't going to sign here.
And also,
what he was doing.
Don't you think that part of John Henry signing off on Dombrowski's decision to re-up Sale to crazy money despite the arm issues and to re-up Evaldi, even though the guy's always hurt, and to give them all that money, kind of knowing that Betts needed to be taken care of another year, maybe they even knew all the way back then that, yeah, this guy's not coming back, so we might as well take care of our pitching staff right now. And so, because I look at it like, if you didn't sign these guys, you could have had Betts, and they might be looking at it saying, well, we might not have any of them.
Right.
They all would have been gone because we weren't keeping Betts, so we would have had all this money left over and no pitching staff.
And I just wonder.
I mean, they still have no pitching staff.
But. You know, we always talk about this, the Malcolm Butler thing. We'll find out at some point. Or this feels like one of those things. I don't know if you guys read the Marcus Smart Players Tribune last week, where he tells the story about his racial experience outside the Garden.
Right.
Is this going to be a thing where when the dust settles, and I don't know when the dust settles, if that's a year, 2 years, 5 years, Mookie writes something or tells somebody, like, I was never comfortable there. It wasn't my city.
He could.
It wasn't.
I mean, if something moves him to that, it seems like it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. You know, he's on a great team. He's playing well. He's got all his money. He's couldn't be further away physically from Boston. Like, he might down the road, but it seems like he doesn't really need to.
Well, he's at the best place
never,
to win.
He never acted unhappy here. You know how we were joking about sad Tom?
No,
you know, and I never got any indication that Mookie was unhappy or sad.
Yeah.
No, which is different than Price or Crawford or Gonzalez.
You never really got much from Mookie, to be honest.
No.
Again, the one comment I keep going back to is the one that said like he wanted to, like I'm paraphrasing, but basically set the market for all the guys behind him. Like he thought he had a responsibility to the younger players. That was the one thing you could really kind of, you know, take away from all of his post-game interviews, which were always fine. Like, right, very, very nice guy, seems like, but nothing too exciting.
And that idea is fine. I have no problem with it. I mean, Jonathan Papelbon rode that train forever that he was going to free agency. He's a union guy. I'm going to be the highest paid closer.
Fine.
I'm going to do this. But you can do that in Boston. Like, you can go to free agency and then make Boston bid against whoever, themselves, for all we know, to put it to 400, 410, 420, whatever the number. Now we have sort of the first time publicly this insinuation that, no, it wasn't about the money.
But it was kind of amazing when in that same offseason, it was like Mike Trout and Nolan Arenado and there's another guy. They're like three of the best players in baseball all re-signed early with their teams. And
Arenado was the one who cried, right? Didn't he have the press conference where he cried about being able to stay?
Yeah, and pretty good.
I didn't see Mookie crying about being able to stay.
No, he was maybe happy tears when he left.
I mean, we still don't have any indication other than, as you guys said, whispers and innuendos that he was unhappy here. He never acted it.
No, he looked happy. Remember that grand slam? And like he looked as happy as could be. And the stories about, you know, doing things in the community and the necklace he got from the kid. And like there are ties to here. There are stories.
Well, no, because like when he was out there, he was happy. And again, off the field and during the interviews, it was kind of nothing. You know, we would really hang on to David Price's post-game comments, Adrian Gonzalez post-game comments, like John Lackey when he was here. Like there were so many guys like, to the extreme, or you knew how they felt.
Exactly.
Whereas Betts was always just kind of like, you know, playing baseball, doing my job.
But he doesn't look different now, does he? Does he look happier now?
No, he looks happier? the same as he looked here.
Maybe happier.
No, he doesn't look happy. Well, he's happier than if he were not playing for the Red Sox right now.
He's in the World Series. He's away from winning a World Series.
Right, but other than that, when you've seen him on a baseball field performing the sport of baseball, he looks the same.
He's a blast.
Right? He's catching the ball. He's throwing the ball. He's hitting the ball. He's
stealing
running,
bases.
Getting tacos for everybody.
What a player.
That's the kind of player you want to keep.
He was joking around at second base with the shortstop last night.
The ball
was
hit him.
Yeah, and he's laughing. And
imagine that. He's mic'd up, and it's like, thank God I'm out of Boston. Like, oh, I guess we got
what
it now.
I didn't say that.
Like when he was he the one that was mic'd up that couldn't get to the ball in spring training?
Spring training. Not getting this one,
which was great.
That was great.
Yeah, thank God I'm out of Boston. They could have given me $10 billion. I would have never signed there. What's that now?
I said Austin.
I'm seeing ghosts out here.
617-779-7937. Jim's on the cell phone. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
What's going on?
I just want to weigh in on this. I don't think Mookie was keepable for the simple reason that you mentioned David Price. I mean, our view of David Price is entirely we view him through the lens of massive contract. And Mookie witnessed that firsthand. I mean, David Price was practically, he may have been World Series MVP. We don't remember that. We remember, like, you know, the playing Fortnite and the various comments of the press. Mookie obviously was a much more liked player, but he knew that things would change if he cashed in and stayed here.
So you
he would
he
be
left,
viewed differently.
You think he left because of the fans?
God, the fans adored him in this town.
I think they loved him. I think David Price did all that stuff to himself. I think the contract's a factor, Jim. There's no doubt. But I feel like if Mookie Betts had real confidence in himself and was making $30 million a year and was playing well, fans would have no problem with him. Manny Ramirez made $20 million back when $20 million was the $30
million. Right.
And he played up to it. Nobody had a problem with how much money he made.
I think a lot of people had the problem with it.
What? With Manny?
With Manny Ramirez? I mean, maybe the last day he was here, sure, but the 8 years prior, he was the best.
I heard a lot of complaints about his contract, and management complained about his contract.
I didn't hear a single complaint.
No, management never complained.
What?
If there was ever a player in the history of the Red Sox who you could say earned every dime they ever paid,
it was Manny,
right?
Was
he's one of the great. So this guy's full of crap, but he's one of the great examples of these long baseball contracts. Of over 20 or now over 25 or 30, that the guy was good for every year of the deal.
Right.
There's not many of them. In fact, most pitchers you know going in are going to break down. And now that the hitters or the everyday players' contracts are going insane, you know that's not going to work. It was A-Rod's first 10-year deal, Manny's 8-year deal, and like maybe a couple of others you can find.
Manny's also an example of if you perform,
We will mention his contract.
Endless excuses. No, but we'll even cover up that you're a dink off the field. We will just say, yeah, but it's just Manny being Manny. Did you see what he hit that bomb last night and drove in five?
That guy's literally saying, one of the best pure hitters I've ever seen.
Yes.
That guy talking about how he heard rumblings about the contract.
Name one.
That's like the main senator.
Well, you want me to list the name? I'm not going to go through the names.
That's him. That was legit him. Maybe it is him calling in.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. But I will say, I do sort of agree.
It does put more pressure on you.
It puts more pressure, and the back end of the deal would be more discussed and criticized here than it will be in L.A.
Well, and if he's feeling added pressure because he signed the big deal, he's sure performing admirably under the added pressure.
No pressure. Yeah,
well, he's saying the Dodgers don't care or the L.A. fans don't care. But I mean, I don't know if that's
true. No, I'm saying if you're a player who you signed the big deal, so now you're thinking, oh God, I gotta earn this now. Yeah. Right, and we've seen players who've had that issue.
But I think we all agree, and I've never lived in L.A., but I don't think it's going to be the same in L.A. if his numbers dip a little, if he's not quite as good.
No, definitely not.
I mean, they have the whole idea they show up late and leave early to the games, and that kind of mentality. It would be different here. I mean, you have an example in, it's different because there's an injury, but Gordon Hayward's contract has been held against him the entirety of his time in Boston, right? Mm-hmm. And I hold it against him because contracts create expectations. When you don't meet those expectations, we say,
Al Horford,
you're overpaid.
That was
right?
all the criticism for Horford.
You're not worth it.
Yeah,
Horford's a good example because there wasn't really an injury. It was just
that's what he was.
Average Al is
you had to overpay to get it. But that's the other thing in sports. You seem, more often than not, you have to overpay somebody to get them.
Right.
If they're that good, there's going to be a bidding war, and then you just have to top that guy. All right, fine, we're taking him. Yeah, that's not the number we wanted to pay him, but we got him.
But you're also the Boston Red Sox.
You
and
are,
you have 100%. The ability to spend $200 million. This is where I get into, and I yelled at Mutt for this, what talking point are we using? If you're defending the Red Sox, is it he was never going to sign, or is it we had to reset the books? Like, which talking point? Because you can sell me on you had to reset the books. Now, I think you screwed that up. You could have planned ahead.
You had to reset the books because of your own doing.
You didn't have to reset the books if you had, planned properly.
But now I'm starting to change my thought a little bit more about maybe Sale and Eovaldi weren't the reason why Betts was gone. Betts may have already been gone in their mind, and that's why they're like, we might as well keep these guys because they'll stay.
Yeah, but...
That's a horrible decision.
And
I hated the sale one.
You don't have to spend the money just because it's in your pocket. You can spend it next year.
Yeah, but anytime if you found $20, what are you going to do with it? Save it?
Put it in the bank.
No,
buy candy. Compound interest?
I'd buy candy.
That'll be like $20.05.
Chime's going to bet it on a parlay that's going on.
He likes the Giants tonight and the points.
Hey, Chime, what do you think of the list of Bet Online next coach to be fired? I see value in Bill Belichick at 500-1.
That's so stupid. That's,
so here's the
thing.
I can't
believe they have odds.
Here's the thing. It should be 5,000-1 because it shouldn't be on the board.
It's stupid.
What they're trying to do is they're trying to bait you into betting it because they know that they're not going to lose it.
Do you have the Antonio Brown odds, Shyam? Have those ready for trending. I'll go to you in trending. I'll have those ready.
617-779-7937. A big-time A-list Hollywood actor. He's taking shots at my partner, Rich Keefe, and I won't have it.
Whoa.
It's our take that needs a 180, and it's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe with Hart Sports Radio, WEEI.
More of Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart on WEEI.
All right, it's time for this week's take that needs a 180, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Sample how tasty losing weight can be with the Awaken 180 approved freshly prepared meals at all Roach Brothers and Brothers Marketplace locations. Weight loss is never bland with Awaken 180 Weight Loss. So, there are film icons in this country. I mean, actors who we consider, as good at their craft as anybody else out there. And I've always thought Matthew McConaughey is one of those really, really good actors. Not anymore. He is taking shots at my friend and partner, Rich Keefe, in a totally unwarranted way. So apparently, he was on Pardon My Take.
Yes.
And he was talking with the guys on Pardon My Take, and he said this.
Here's what's cool. Being yourself and being cool with yourself and just not trying to be everything to everybody or trying, I got no problem with nerds. I just don't like dorks. A dork tries to be everything to everybody. You can't really trust them.
Uh-huh.
I know some nerds that are real cool. I know some very cool nerds. Mm. But I'm not a fan of dork. Give me an ass. Before you give me a dork, at least I know where the ass stand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hashtag Dork Podcast.
This is unbelievable. This is so unnecessary, unprovoked, and it's ill-informed. He's not right. He doesn't have the correct definition of a dork.
So
a dork, if nothing else, A dork is someone, myself, hashtag dork podcast, who is comfortable in their own skin. Dale once asked a while ago, what is like a guilty pleasure show? Doesn't exist for me. There's nothing I would hide from anybody.
There's no guilt.
You see how I dress to work?
Guilty pleasure is the dumbest phrase of all time.
It is. I would never hide the music that I listen to, the shows that I watch, the video games that I play. Yes, I'm a grown man playing video games. I wear a backwards hat most days. Dorks are more comfortable in their own skin than anybody else. The distinction is we also know that we're not super smart. If you're smart, you're a nerd. Now, sure, there's some overlaps. You can be a nerd and a dork.
On this program, I have worked with both nerds and dorks.
Correct.
I straddle the fence.
I am just a dork, and I will fully admit it. Now, then he says he'd rather hang out with an a-hole
like
than
me.
A dork.
Whoa.
That is Andy Hart, and you're wrong. Spend 10 minutes with Andy,
oh, no, you
10
would
minutes
not want
with
to
me.
Spend any time
and you know
with Andy.
But that's the thing. Dorks have passion. I'm very passionate about, like, Star Wars or about, you know, Overwatch or
the Avengers.
Like the Avengers. I'm very passionate about that. I'm also not going to force it upon you. If you don't like the Avengers, I'm not going to be mad at you about it. But I'm also not going to hide the fact. Right, because like, every time I tweet out a picture of, like, you know, a Funko Pop or, like, something in my house, everyone's like, how old are you? What are you, 5? And I'm like, sure, I'm 5. But at least I'm comfortable in it. The person tweeting at me probably is a miserable loser. And it's somebody apparently,
like Matthew
though,
McConaughey.
That McConaughey would rather hang out with.
I don't think he's miserable.
McConaughey?
Seems like he likes his life.
No. I just don't think he understands what a dork is. I think he's confusing it with something else. I don't know what that would be.
But
a dork is...
I think he's confusing dorks with nerds.
See, but what... Okay,
speaking of nerds, are better.
Coming
he
from
said nerds are better.
So you boil it down for me real quick. So dork, dumb, nerd, smart?
Nerd, smart, yes. Dork, I would say, very passionate about maybe niche subjects and is comfortable in their own skin.
Okay, so my reaction was initially, I don't really know the difference. So I went
to a big difference.
Google.
Nerds know, like, math and stuff.
Yeah, nerds, like, Keith Law's a nerd.
Right.
Me quoting DVOA,
yes,
and Dakota.
Notice he brings up
stuff,
a person he hates and he's in a feud with.
So right,
nerds,
nerd.
Well, just one person.
PFF, like, is nerds.
Yes, like anytime there's like a graph, and like dorks wouldn't point to a graph.
If there's a function involved,
it's a nerd.
Yes.
Thing.
If there's a formula to it,
nerds know the formulas. Dorks just cite the graphs. I think Shyam's giving himself too much credit. I think Shyam's a dork because he's not doing the calculation.
And
no,
you're
right.
I kind of sit on the fence.
You're a nerd.
I only know one of the formulas, and that's passer rating. But I don't really know the others.
So, just a definition of terms here, then, fellas. Where do geeks fall into this this stratus?
Good question.
More digitally driven,
maybe.
See, I consider my son a geek. He's the Yale PhD guy and a stats professor
and all that.
I would say nerd. I think nerd
is
what
he likes. Guys, geek's just a synonym.
Geeks are the ones who know the numbers but don't say anything.
They have acne, too.
But nerds are the ones who talk
about
the
numbers. That's true. Yeah. Geeks are definitely more in line with, like, none of the geeks would also be, like, athletes. Whereas, like, dorks could be athletes. They just happen to really like Star Wars. Again,
Lawrence Guy.
Or whatever. Like, Lawrence Guy is a dork. You would never call
Gerald
Lawrence
McCoy.
Guy a geek. You never would.
What about a nerd?
A nerd?
No. I feel like he's a little bit of a nerd.
Yeah,
he does,
he's smart,
he does sort
maybe
of talk
go there.
Like it, yeah.
But I think geek is probably even more derogatory.
I think people need to just understand that these words, especially for people like us, aren't derogatory anymore. Like, you need to, like,
the
take
name of the,
out...
The name of my podcast is hashtag dork, so we're obviously not all that upset about it. But I think you have to get...
Well, you got upset when Matthew McConaughey said mean things about you.
Yeah, but he didn't... Because he doesn't think a dork is what a dork actually is. That's why. He's just wrong about it. You can call us a dork. In fact, great. Go ahead.
Dork? Go for it.
Fine. Dork podcast.
For like
follow
middle schoolers
we call
now,
each other
though.
Dorks all the time.
Dork.
It's like cool to be a nerd growing up now, apparently.
It is. Like, do you guys see 21 Jump Street?
Yeah.
21
rich.
Jump Street was hilarious.
Or
because,
Silicon Valley?
Because when... No. I'm saying 21 Jump Street, Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill, like, go back undercover to high school. And they're clearly way older than high school. And what they find now is, like, there aren't bullies. Like, whereas there used to be bullies. And, like, you would make fun of kids at school. Now you don't do that. And now if you, like, don't like somebody for, like, a certain reason, like, you're now the a-hole, which is completely different. And you're right. So now call him whatever you want. But I just think McConaughey's got to get that figured out.
Well, let's give McConaughey one more chance here.
Right.
And maybe he'll really piss Shyam off. Because he also, on Pardon My
Mon Edge.
Talked about sports gambling.
I like the fun of when I think and believe that, you know, Miami's going to be jet lagged against San Fran.
Yep.
And they come out slow in the first half and end up and San Fran ends up covering. I'm like, knew it.
Dude,
no shit, man. Jet lag, man. They're constipated. They can't run around. around. They flew in too late. They flew in on Saturday instead of last Wednesday. Blah, blah, blah. Or Brett Favre, dad just passed away. Oh, he's playing for more than the game. He's mm-hmm. going to be unconscious tonight. Boom. Well, you know, didn't I love going, knew it.
So he references the game from like 20 years ago as when it's easy to call games because all of the road teams are constipated, or if they're if a close if a family member who passes away.
You know that Matthew McConaughey and his brother, I don't know if you listen to the podcast, Rich, but they told this story. They bet a lot of money on the Bills to beat the Giants in the Super Bowl in, what was it, 25 in 1990?
Yeah.
They lost a lot of money. They were like parlaying, like Thurman Thomas would have more rushing yards than whoever
that was the
Giants
the
running
Belichick
back was.
Game plans in yep. the Hall of Fame because of yep. that one. Wide stop right. the K gun offense.
Yeah, they the bet Bills a ton of money on it. They were like dancing at the bar because the Bills were leading in the first half or something, and yeah, then the yeah. Giants came back in the second half and won it, and they were just like distraught, and the cab driver was making fun of them.
but then he bet the Brett Favre Monday Night Football game where he threw like four touchdowns. Remember that game?
Yeah,
guys couldn't drop a pass. Was that Javon Walker? Who were some of those guys? Like
that Donald Driver?
Yeah, probably. They were just coming up with every kind of catch.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So like, was McConaughey a successful actor at that stage of life?
90?
Because, yeah.
No, because Dazed and Confused, I believe, was 92. And that's what really set
him. So they couldn't have been betting that much.
Yes. Well, you never know.
I believe they had a good night at a
casino. I mean, I'm not successful, and I bet a lot.
And not that successful at betting either, apparently.
When I'm not betting football, I'm doing just fine.
Yeah, he says here, like, he first, like, 91 might have been his first year as an actor.
How old is he?
He is 50. 50 on the nose.
According to his IMDb, his earliest thing is he was in an episode of Unsolved Mysteries in 1992.
Ooh, that ties together nicely. Unsolved Mysteries
Volume
2
is
back.
Morning, yeah, I heard you this morning with Greg Hill.
Yeah, so his
Wiggy hates Unsolved
yeah,
Mysteries.
Yeah, he does, because it's not solved mysteries.
They don't solve anything.
His first real role was Dazed and Confused in 93. That's a pretty good start.
So I don't know how much money he and his brother were betting back in 90.
They won a lot at a casino that night, and then the winnings is what they were putting on the Bills.
I was going to say, because it's not necessarily about how actual much money you're betting. It's the
relative
percentage of
right.
money that you have that you decide to bet. That's, right. I mean, that's
you got $1,000 and you bet $500, right. That's a ridiculous amount
like
of money.
When Charles Barkley, they're like, oh, he lost $10 million. He goes, don't worry about me. I'm still rich.
Right. It's true.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan. I mean, people talk about his gambling law. Yeah, he bets, you know, $10,000 on a round of golf. Well, so what?
It's not a problem to him.
Antoine Walker is mm-hmm. probably the counterexample where mm-hmm. you can have a lot of money, bet a lot of money, and then not have money.
Well, all right, thanks.
Sad story. Do you
have a downer?
Yeah, I'm just being realistic.
Right down.
But back to the dork nerd thing, I looked it up.
Okay.
So the dictionary definition, well, the Google dictionary definition.
Okay.
A dork is a contemptible, socially inept person. Okay, wow. A nerd.
Miriam has it wrong.
A nerd is a foolish or contemptible person who lacks social skills. It sounds like the same damn thing to me based on the definition.
No, I would say nerds and geeks would have less social skills than a dork.
Oh, yeah, that applies to my son.
Okay.
Social skills are
what
not
What about
great.
Urban Dictionary? Look it up on Urban Dictionary.
That's oh, the don't do that. We'll have to yes. dump that, whatever he
yeah,
reads.
I'll look it up.
I mean, he can censor himself.
It's a
maybe.
Wales Johnson.
Excuse me?
That's what somebody on the text line said to you.
Yeah, no, I bet it is.
It is. That's what a fine. Dork is, apparently.
Use the hashtag.
Okay, a dork on the Urban Dictionary
oh,
is
yeah.
a person. I should probably read it first before I
say yeah.
it.
Yeah.
A little self-editing here.
They probably have a few definitions.
A person in which.
Oh, my gosh.
Andy is clearly not a nerd.
Can we edit this? No, you know who's not a nerd? Whoever wrote this.
Well, all right.
A Hannibal person in which is both academically inclined and fans over things, also is silly and clumsy.
So fan over things is what I would grab there. Is there they have other
definitions? Says academically inclined, though, and you said that's not true.
I think there can be overlap, but it's not necessarily.
Okay, so now let's go
What's
to
the second definition?
Nerd for the Urban Dictionary.
The second definition for dork, by the way, is just someone who has odd interests and is often silly at times.
And the definition of nerd is one whose IQ exceeds his weight.
That's not always true.
Oh.
Yeah, I would
suddenly Shyam's distancing himself.
Oh, yeah, no, he's
Steve
Wozniak
was a pretty smart guy.
Shyam doesn't know where he's at now.
Guy as well.
He's going to have to come up with a new term.
Also, an individual who enjoys learning and does not adhere to social norms.
Okay.
A nerd is not a geek.
Oh,
this is getting confusing now.
This is one of those triple Venn diagrams.
Yeah, it is.
We have to flush this out.
There's definitely somebody out there in the world that would identify as all three.
And I
can identify as whatever you want.
That's the beauty of it.
If you're in the middle of the three diagrams, it's just loser.
Well, and now we've lost the visual representation, too, because there's no pocket protectors and glasses and, like,
no, but
kids
that
wear
would...
fake glasses because they're cool now, not because they're
nerds. I got bullied for wearing glasses
now
growing
cool,
up, and
right?
now it's like everybody wears them because they think it looks good.
I hate my glasses.
He has so many skeletons in his closet and issues.
It's a problem.
Hours and hours are needed on a couch.
I wore goggles and used football, too. You know, like blanket chip?
Rec specs. My kid had rec specs.
I wore those, yeah. I still have them.
Did you suck?
They were awesome. I was actually fine. I couldn't see the ball a lot, though. They'd fog up. I'd get all sweaty.
Coming up next on What Else You Got, the difference between Dak Prescott and Andy Dalton is apparently in the bacon. We'll explain in just a moment here on Sports Radio WEEI.
Andy Hart is with Dale and Keefe every Tuesday and Thursday on WEEI.
I'm a little disappointed, to be honest with you fellas, because I tried to, you know, redo the background here a little bit.
I see.
And I thought sure that one of you would mention my Stone Cold Steve Austin weightlifting belt, but nobody did.
I thought about it earlier, but I got distracted.
Exactly. That's
there
what I was looking
looks,
for
looks
right
sharp.
There.
And that's the real deal, too, right, Dale? It's not this the fake one.
This is the real one.
You had a fake one.
My buddy Steve Cardillo arranged for...
But whose is it?
It's mine.
No, because it says certified public Hellraiser. And
oh, yeah. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That's when Dale does
Austin 316.
It's when he does squats.
Wow. When Dale does squats, he can't get up.
All right, let's get to a couple of things we missed earlier. Andy, Smart Aleck, go ahead.
What else you got?
So I don't know who's whined more this week, Bill Belichick about not practicing.
Or they didn't practice.
A certain bearded Dolphins quarterback who...
Aww.
I feel like the whole world knew exactly what was happening in Miami.
Correct.
Except for the one guy who matters, even though he talked in past weeks about he knew it was a short-term deal, that at some point it was coming to an end. And then when it came to an end, Ryan Fitzpatrick said...
My heart just hurt all day. Like, it was heartbreaking for me. Flo kind of said what he said and said what he said to you guys as well. And that's the decision and the direction that the organization is going in. And obviously... You know, we've talked in the past, me and you guys, about, you know, how I'm the placeholder and this eventually was going to happen no matter. It was just a matter of kind of when, not if. And it still just it broke my heart yesterday, and tough thing for me to hear and to now have to deal with. But, you know, I'm going to do my best with it.
Wow,
man.
I don't think he's handling it.
Heartbroken.
Well.
Who was sadder, Ryan Fitzpatrick or Tom Brady after 8 games last year?
It's close.
It is close.
It's pretty close.
He's playing better. I'm not going to cry too much. I just looked up $63 million or something.
He'll be fine.
So far.
He's doing okay for himself. He's also got, I don't know if you've heard, Harvard guy, got a degree to
smart
fall back
guy.
On. So.
Smart guy.
Shows
more
smart?
Chest hair than any other person on the planet.
Is he a nerd?
A dork?
I think he's a dork.
The geek?
Although he went to Harvard,
he's a nerd.
So he's a nerd.
Yeah.
Stuff. I don't know.
What else you got?
All right, Rich.
Well, we need to turn things around for Shime Time's free money segment, which is for Fitzy this year. He's picking games for Fitzy, and so far they are sub 500.
Ugh.
So we need to turn things around. We need a little bit of a shot in the arm.
You're
so
not
I have an
use
idea.
This game tonight, are you?
No, this is what I'm going to do.
Oh, good.
When I get home, I'm going to have my daughter, who's one, pick the game. She's going to pick the game. I have mini helmets for every team, hashtag dork, and I'm going to line up the helmet somewhere. And so my daughter will pick Giants-Eagles. If she gets the game right, she gets one of Fitzy's picks for the weekend.
Nice.
How's that? If she doesn't, well, you know what? She's done picking games.
She's won.
She's on a heater. She's on a heater. Can't quit on a heater.
But if she wins a game, we have to include her in the Fitzy money going forward. Fitzy's already signed off on it. So this is a bit of a showcase game for her tonight. So I'll tweet out the video, and then we can retweet it from Dale Keefe, WEEI.
She gets one shot? Shine gets a
one.
Million? That doesn't seem fair.
Well, no, but Shine picked a lot.
Yeah, but I had a good track record coming into the NFL
She gets
season.
One wrong, and she's done.
Well, I'm going to have her look over the Philly depth chart, fill her in on Miles Sanders.
Well, if she gets one
Zach
right,
Ertz.
Then she's not done. So.
She's
1-0.
Then
she goes on forever.
Yep.
She's on a heater. I think a baby on a heater is a totally different situation.
I think it could work for
means
us, though.
A diaper change is needed.
Well, that is also probably true, but she's going to pick a winner tonight. That's the plan.
What else you got?
So Ryan Clark was on Get Up. He used an interesting analogy to try to explain the difference the Dallas Cowboys are now experiencing between Dak Prescott and Andy Dalton.
You put bacon on a breakfast burrito, it's better. Bacon on a biscuit, it's better. Bacon on a hamburger, it is better. That's what Dak Prescott was for this team. This team was terrible, but he was bacon. You know what Andy Dalton is? Just like I told y'all he was. He's turkey bacon. It kind of looks the same. You still have some of the same pieces, but you got to cook it different. You can't put turkey bacon in the pan. You got to do it on a George Foreman because it falls apart. It's not as crispy. It doesn't fix everything and make it feel good. Make it taste good to you. Now y'all all want bacon. Y'all thought y'all didn't want to eat pork no more. I bet you want the pork back now when you got 10 points. Y'all don't want the fake stuff no more, so we're not doing no turkey bacon. We ain't doing no Splenda. We ain't doing no stevia. You go get you the real pork because a pig ain't never did nothing to me.
Hard to argue with any of that.
I don't even know what he said at the end.
I actually do. I think turkey bacon's fine.
What?
I like turkey bacon.
No. Nope.
I have no problem with that.
Commie. No, not as good.
It's so gross.
I have no problem with it.
It is not good.
You've got the wrong kind.
Keith, I think Clark's clearly trying to, not part of the fat community.
No,
yeah, what are you doing?
I think Clark's trying to be too hard like Kendrick Perkins. He's trying to come up with some kind of funny analogy.
Perk is putting the pressure on everybody now,
yeah,
isn't he?
That wasn't great.
But he's right.
No, he's not.
Bacon is awesome. Bacon makes everything
turkey
better.
Turkey bacon's pretty good.
Turkey bacon,
I have no problem with
is,
turkey bacon.
You know you're eating turkey bacon. It's fake. And it's phony. It's not the real thing. It's not all that good.
Pigs are really smart. You shouldn't eat pigs.
What? You don't,
it's true.
You don't eat pigs.
They're omnivores. They'd eat
you. I try
you.
Not to.
Yeah.
Well, only if I was fed to them by a mobster.
Or if
you're
you
saying
just tripped in the pen.
They wouldn't eat you right away.
Oh, yeah, it happens.
If you're dead,
you
they would.
Snuggle with them.
Farmers.
Why am I dead?
How did you hit your head on the way down?
More likely to kill you. More likely to kill you. Pigs or cats?
Cats.
Oh, pigs.
Pigs have the ability, but cats want to more.
I can be allergic to cats, not to pigs.
Yeah, how big's the cat?
That's true. You didn't specify cat size. Yeah,
that's a good point. Andy, we'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, enjoy the game this week. And it's a big one, Rich said. It defines whether he thinks they're good
decide.
Or not.
That's the Bills game 2 weeks.
Tomorrow, we'll talk with Devin McCourty on Patriots Friday. Michael Irvin will join us as well. OMF is coming up next. We'll see you guys later. Bye.
Team isn't very good anymore.
That's all, folks.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.